A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." These words of the prophet Isaiah described the return of Israel from exile in Babylon to Jerusalem, the same event of which the psalmist sings today. This prophecy is then echoed by Baruch, private secretary to the prophet Jeremiah, who in the first lesson proclaims that God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low and the age-old depths be filled to level ground, so that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. And finally, St. Luke rephrases Isaiah's words of consolation to announce the arrival in Israel of the last and greatest of the prophets, the brilliant and enigmatic John the Baptist. News of John's conception was announced by the angel Gabriel to his father, Zechariah, a priest of the Old Covenant, while he was in the Jerusalem temple offering sacrifice. Zechariah was then already an old man, and John's mother, Elizabeth, was beyond childbearing years. So the news that Zechariah and Elizabeth would have a son was greeted with skepticism, causing the old priest temporarily to lose his voice. But upon Zechariah's return home to his wife, Elizabeth did indeed conceive a child, and 6 months later, she was visited by her cousin Mary, then carrying her own son, who was conceived without a human father. Even in the womb, the young John knew the presence of the Lamb of God and leapt for joy at the nearness of his salvation. And from the silence of their mother's wombs, the two boys, Jesus and John, communicated with each other. The Word made flesh revealed himself to his kinsmen, who would, in the fullness of time, become his forerunner. By his silent witness, his public preaching, his baptism of Jesus, and his martyr's death, John the Baptist stands as the pivotal figure between the Old Covenant and the New, between the first Israel of the 12 patriarchs and the new Israel of the 12 apostles, between the Torah and the Gospel. John was described by his cousin the Savior as the greatest man born of woman and the one who completed the mission of the prophet Elijah. John is the last prophet of Abraham's stock and the first evangelist of the Lamb of God. And in the fullness of time, John came in from the desert, moved by the word of God, to proclaim a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. St. Luke went to great pains to tell us in his gospel that John's mission took place within history, in a very specific time and place, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, and so forth and so on. Luke provides these details of geography and chronology, the names of the key political and religious leaders of the day, precisely to assure us that John was a real man in a real time and place with a dangerous mission. And this information, of course, is given at the service of providing exactly the same assurance for the life and ministry, the preaching and miracles, and above all, the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. These men, then, and these events are not mythical or fictional. They are real, human, and historical. But even if these events are not mythical, they are mystical. That is, the events recorded in the scriptures point us to the mysteries of the Lord Jesus. The mysteries of Christ are his words and deeds. Words and deeds that reveal who he is, reveal his glory, and reveal to mankind the Father's eternal plan of salvation. It is only because of the eternal plan that Isaiah and Baruch could speak of the mission of the Baptist and the Messiah hundreds of years before their births. And in the same way, the eternal word of God still speaks to us and draws us to the mysteries of Christ. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. My friends, this is nothing other than a description of what must take place inside of us if we are to follow the Lord Jesus. The gorges in our souls made by sin must be filled up with grace, and the lofty mountains of our pride must be made low by contrition. The crooked roads of our twisted hearts must be made straight by conversion, and the rough ways of our rebellious nature must be made smooth by repentance. Only then, when the way of the Lord has been made straight, can we see the salvation of God. John the Baptist appeared from the desert preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and the baptism of John gave way to the baptism of the Lord Jesus. In fact, in this way, all of the signs of the covenant with Israel gave way to the sacraments of the church, and the seven sacraments, the instruments of grace, together with the Word of God and Holy Scripture, are the means used now by the Lord Jesus to make us holy, to make us capable of loving God and each other in the truth. Through our baptism by water and the Holy Spirit, we were freed from our sins and the life of grace began in us. But after our baptism, the Lord provides for the forgiveness of our sins in three other sacraments: anointing of the sick whenever needed, confession whenever needed, and above all, the Most Holy Eucharist, every Sunday and every day when possible. In only 16 days, we will celebrate the birth of the Messiah. And in anticipation, the world is in a frenzy, shopping, decorating, and feasting. But these things do not prepare us to stand at the Christmas crib with joy. Only the forgiveness of our sins can do that. So to prepare for the birth of the Messiah, let us go to confession and receive the mercy of God. That is how we prepare the way of the Lord and fulfill the hope for us explained by St. Paul to the Philippians in today's second lesson. It is my prayer, the apostle wrote, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness which come through Christ Jesus to the praise and glory of God.